somewhere that you are distrustful of bankers.
Oh, yeah. They're the biggest criminals on the planet. You go high enough up, they're literally counterfeiting money.
I'm distrustful of money. I don't even, you know, it's just...
I just find it hilarious that, like, I just love that thing how we all work all week. And then when you're done, you just get this piece of paper with, like, numbers on it. And then you go down and you hand it to these guys who are some of the biggest criminals ever. We're too big to fail. You deal with it. You pay our tab. Like, these absolute gangsters. And just still, throughout all of it, you just hand it to them. These guys who gave, like, homeless people $500,000 loans for houses.
Let's say you don't give them the piece of paper with the numbers on it. I still don't trust it. I don't trust the piece of paper with the numbers on it. That equals my work.
It's a belief system.
Welcome back to episode 81 of the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. Today on the podcast, we're going to listen to some clips from comedian Bill Burr out of Boston, Massachusetts. And he's an A-lister comedian in Hollywood. He's a really, really funny guy. One of my favorite comedians. And everything that you hear on the show today is going to be fair use Creative Commons license. The other day, last weekend actually, I was on the train riding and I'm flipping through my phone. I'm on YouTube and I see a little clip that says, Sarah Silverman, Bill Burr, awkward interview. So it kind of piqued my interest and I clicked on it. And basically what it is Sarah Silverman, she's like a B comedian, B or C comedian. She's really not funny at all. She thinks she's an A-lister. And not, like I said, not funny at all. She thinks he's cute. And she has this show, I think it's called I Love You or something ridiculous. So I've never heard of it before. So long story short, you know, she proceeds to introduce her guest, Bill Burr. And she goes, oh, our guest today is Bill Burr. You know, he's like my brother. I hate him. And, you know, I love him. And it's just a weird introduction, you know. He doesn't listen or whatever. Like she's trying to put him in his place. She's trying to weave this web on him. So Burr is just sitting there looking at her, and when she finishes, he looked at her like he's surprised and like he's getting ready to get up and walk out. And he goes, I thought you were my friend. You know, you're here berating me, telling me that, you know, I'm a douchebag, whatever. It's pretty funny. You have to listen. And, you know, she tries to play her way out of it, and it's pretty hilarious. You can just see that Bill Burr is punching holes in her shit. You know, he's just ripping her while being funny. Doing it, being hilarious, the way in his inimitable style. I mean, that's Burr. You know, he's funny and speaks truth and, you know, wraps it all in a comedic package. You know, the guy speaks truth. He speaks about the banking system and different truths and you know, how they're trying to put us under control system. And he's not joking about it. He's serious about it. And in many instances, you see him being interviewed in different forums and the mainstream media and the interviewers, they begin to cringe as he speaks his truth. You know, they laugh like he's stupid or whatever, but my man, Bill Burr, brings it, man. He's legit. Really support him, man. Really, really support him because we need more people like him to step up. And I think when people see someone like him, an A-lister, stepping up and speaking truth, it kind of gives them the courage to stand up too. He's a smart dude. You know, he plays the, you know, I'm a dumb guy, you know, lunch bag, toting, construction, you know, he gives that persona, but the dude's a smart guy, man. He, you know, I can't give him enough credit and enough praise, man. Bill Burr really is for the working man. So, again, I've went on enough here. We're going to listen to some clips of him speaking about the system and things that are going on, and he gets into some really good topics as far as getting out of debt and the illusionary banking system that we have, how they just create money and, you know, criminal gangsters. I don't want to get into it too much because he's actually going to get into it and express it so you can, you know, hear his point of view in a funny way. I mean, he's entertaining while he does it, which is great. We need more people like that. Yeah, and I'm going to put a little commentary here and there, but this is going to be, you know, some clips of Bill Burr, and let's get into it.
Whenever I travel and do gigs overseas, I just...
What would you like, get paid in, you know, barley and flour?
Gold. I want the gold standard. Yeah, you know what? That's better, actually.
That barley would be a good flour. Mix. Barley, flour, and some gold. What you really want is silver. You're not going to give somebody... You don't give somebody gold for a sandwich. You give them some silver. That's worth like 20 bucks.
Right. All right, going back to money. Let's talk about money a little bit. Well, just the idea, like when I go overseas and do shows... and I have dollars on me, and I run out of like whatever the currency is there, and I'm sorry, I only have dollars. They don't even want them, and it just makes you feel how useless and meaningless this stuff is. Because once you leave,
yeah, they don't believe in that God.
Right.
They don't believe in that. They believe in their God, which has their guys on it.
No, but it's dollars. I work for this. It's good.
I would love to talk to somebody in Europe. Like, what was it like when you went from like Deutschmarks to euros or francs, however you say it, to euros or whatever. Like, I don't even know who's on it and who isn't. I know England still has the pound, but like what that was like, you know, when you had that old pair of golf pants in the back where you got a $20 bill with your guys on it, you know. And then all of a sudden it's the euro. I mean, I don't believe in all of that helps the economy. Like, I just believe that helps the banks sew up more territory. It helps people at the top do business more. I read a book recently where just the way that we approached Japan, and they didn't want to deal with the outside world, and how we just were like, no, you're going to deal with us and you're going to trade with us, or we're going to come back and basically start shooting cannonballs at you. It's just like the fucking arrogance of it was one of those things that, you know, I read books and occasionally and I immediately forget everything in them, but every once in a while there's something that stands out, and the fucking arrogance of that, I just couldn't get past it.
Well, what do you make of when people say, oh, China owns us? That doesn't translate into anything for me. What do you mean China? They bought up our debt.
On paper. But there's one of those things where I think that was golden handcuffs, where now they got drawn into our horrific financial mistakes. And I think that's all part of some sort of brilliant plan to suck them into our economy and get everybody with the money with the same guy's face on it. They'll probably have George Washington on the front and one of their guys on the back. And that'll be the big battle. How come we're on the back? And then the philosopher's going to be like, well, there's really no front and back if you look at it. It just depends on where you're standing.
Right. But it doesn't mean anything for guys like you and me, right? We're just the...
Well, I think it does. I think that would be a major shift if all of a sudden... you know, I have empathy for all these countries that we occupy, and we sit there and we say that we're bringing them freedom and stuff. And even if that is just what we're doing, which I never believe in, I think, like, I saw how much they gave a shit about people in New Orleans. I saw how much they give a shit about people who got screwed by bankers and are upside down in houses right now that they'll never get out from underneath. I saw how much they care. And this is allegedly their own people. Mm-hmm. There's no way they give a shit about anybody. It always comes down to, like, it's a strategic point to put an army, or there's some sort of fluid in the ground that we want, or some sort of trees we want to cut down. It's an energy thing. It's a power thing. It's a strategic thing. And then they just dress it all up with, like, you know.
Sure.
We just can't stand that you want to start a death metal band in that country, and your dictator won't allow you to do it. You know?
Right? Yeah, it's never genuine, but they can't be that honest, right? And they can't be that honest without make it go smoothly. They can't say, "Hey, we're here to take what's yours."
Well, because they need regular people
behind
to
them.
Fight the war,
right?
They're not going to go and do it. So what they have to do is give this righteous. They have to have a right, good reason for doing it. And who knows? Maybe they actually believe it, but I don't know, man. I mean, you go into the average comedy club and there's all kinds of schemes and crap going on. And it's just like I don't feel like you get to it. Like, I love how people like. People who aren't into conspiracy. First of all, immediately, the first thing they do when you say you're into conspiracy, they think, oh, you think there's flying saucers and aliens and all that. Like,
they make you out to be crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. And I always just say, well, this country came about through a conspiracy. That's how it came about. People conspired, and if they lost, they would have been hung for being a traitor.
Sure.
But we won, so now they're heroes.
And
but,
I think there's an effort, Bill, to make people... I think there's an effort coming from the top to say, hey, if you hear about conspiracy, they're crazy. I think that's a conspiracy right there. I think.
Well, I would actually argue that it's more. You are defined by your
beliefs.
No, you're defined by the least of you. It's like Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer's show has the worst example of every cross section of whatever you're going to do. The Southern man, the African American. The Asian, whoever. It's never going to be a good thing. And I feel like with like conspiracy theorists, you're going to be defined by those people, like that character Mel Gibson played in that movie where he drove the cab and he had all the conspiracies.
But do you think that there's a reason, there are people behind that to try and be like, look, if anybody starts telling you things aren't the way they are, look at these guys. Look at these examples we put forward for you.
And I also think conspiracy theorists are annoying. Like, it's like you're having a good day, and then they come along, they tell you that the money isn't worth anything, saying how the sun is burning out, the polar ice caps are coming down, and you know, the bushes are buying up land in South America. It's all on aquifers.
But at some point,
I have to take a break.
Yeah, but you have to hear it too, right? You can't just shut it all out. Otherwise, you're just living mindlessly, and you're like, I am living a good life.
You're not.
Be quiet,
quiet. You're not. You know? You're not living mindlessly. I don't feel you are, because I think that it is, it's set up to, it's, we're just, this is our destiny.
We're
staring it into the sun.
You don't think we should fight for a better destiny, or try and control the one we have?
No. I would never say don't do that, but that's not my lot in life. Like, I'm not I don't know how to organize something like that. I know is how to read about this stuff, get informed on it, and then you, like, it makes you overwhelmingly depressed. Mm-hmm. You try to talk to people about it. Oh, are you one of them conspiracy theorists? Yeah, what's going on Saturn? And you're talking about banks. And so what I did was I educated myself as much as I could to whatever the game was playing, where, you know, like, I bought a house and I have a mortgage, okay? Now, I could go out and buy a bunch of flat-screen TVs and widgets and all that crap, and I don't. I don't have a dining room table. I drive a 7-year-old hybrid, and all I do every month is I knock the principal down, because I educated to myself about how they front-end load the interest, and how if I took 30 years, I would pay 2.5 times the loan price, and with the taxes and the maintenance and all that, I would be lucky if I broke even. And by the time I pay it off, I'm in the final third of my life when the kidneys go or whatever, and then I have I'm into conspiracy theory, not like, if you had a pack of firecrackers in your back pocket, would it blow half your ass off? Then they get a mannequin and then they light it. I don't give a shit. I'm more like into the Rothschild family, the Illuminati. I'm into that.
But they do some of that stuff. Like, one of the most recent episodes that I saw was they went against all the guys that say the moon landing didn't exist. So they tried to recreate.
I would watch that.
Dude, it was a really good episode. It was on the other day.
Did it happen?
Of course.
What do you mean, of course?
Of course the moon landing happened.
Bill, it happened. Jesus Christ.
Can I ask you a question? First of all, Joe, you don't work at NASA, so you just shut up.
Bill, neither do you.
I know I don't.
And you actually are posing the concept that the moon landing possibly didn't happen?
I'm asking it. I'm just asking a question.
You know it happened, Bill. Are you one of the people that think 9/11 could have been an inside job? For Christ's sakes. All right. I just want to know where I stand with you. That's all.
Absolutely. Are you one of those guys who just watches TV and just feels like they're just telling you the truth?
Oh, you're right, Bill. They got me brainwashed, man.
I'm not saying that. I don't like how he can be this pompous ass. Like, are you one of those people who blah, blah, blah? Like, you're on fucking Fox News. You don't read. I spent a week with you. You don't do anything.
Neither do you, Bill.
I know. Well, stop fucking acting like you're above me. You're just as fucking stupid as I am.
I think.
I'm just going to fucking throw this at you.
Certain theories are more ludicrous than others. I think 9/11 being an inside job is ludicrous. I think it's ludicrous.
It's good, right? I'm not related to my next guest, but we fight like siblings. Please welcome brilliant comedian who I love to pieces, but who makes me fucking crazy, Bill Burr.
Great.
No, we love each other. But you have to, we always fight. We fight
it's
often.
Because I go on stage and then you try to correct my jokes.
I don't try to correct your jokes.
Yeah, you do.
You're
like, well, what if you said if the woman did this because of this?
And that was one time, but I admit I was being aggressive.
Micro.
It was a microaggression.
Microaggressive, yeah.
Sometimes I read interviews with you and you talk about everything you hate, and if you added it all up, you would get me. But somehow we love each other. Am I correct in saying that? I think that you love me. Because every time we fight, as I'm driving home, I get a text from you that says, you know I love you, right? And I go, yeah, I love you too.
That isn't me. I've never said, you know, I...
Are you, you fucking know, serious?
Well, my memory isn't good, but I don't remember doing that.
I'll show you.
What, you save them?
I can't believe you're... No, texts just exist. Yeah, I press save on my text. What kind of phone do you have?
No, I like delete them after a while. What are you saving it for?
You delete texts?
Yeah.
Oh, I never do because all our friends die and then it's all you have left.
How many have you had?
Die?
I'm up. I counted.
I have a huge list.
I'm 30. 30.
Yeah.
Get something funny out of that.
That's what you do. I'm not good at that. I'm not good in the mom.
All right. I do like you. And I always feel like you're frustrated with me.
I fucking love you.
Look at my posture right now. I'm like, I'm as far over into this chair as I can possibly be. I just feel like
kind
of came here to hang out and have a good time. And you just like... Like, that intro was just like, yeah, it was
I thought
like,
you'd like that.
I fucking hate this guy. He's a douchebag, but he came down here. I mean, that's how I heard it.
I think that's how you hear a lot of things. You ever hear this? If it's hysterical, it's historical. So I think, like, things trigger you, make you fucking crazy. And it maybe means something, like, it comes from something from your childhood or something, like the ticking time bomb that your dad was, or things like that that were out of your control, and you don't like feeling out of control or people telling you what to do. That's my theory. This feels uncomfortable for you.
It feels like an emotional intervention.
All right.
No, I'm trying to be, my big thing, only thing I'm really working on in my life is I'm trying not to snap as much. Like, it's like I just have a fucking temper, man, and I don't know how to, like, it's just my natural. I'm driving over here. I snapped like 5 times. This guy had the audacity to slow down and make a right onto the street he wanted to go onto. And all of a sudden, I just found myself just going like, oh, what the fuck? Really? Really? Fucking asshole. Just go. Like, why do you turn so slow? And then I talked myself out of it. It's like, he probably lives on that street, Bill.
Yeah.
His kids could be playing out in the yard. So I've gotten to the point where I still snap, but I sort of talk to myself afterwards. So I don't know if that's better or if I'm slowly going insane.
But the one thing I would say that is a trait, we both, I don't like to be told what to do.
No.
My instinct is always fuck you, a little bit.
Yeah, my instinct is fuck this.
But like, I do like to...
I walk out. Like, I went to... This is so embarrassing. I went to a... I was some fucking airport, and I can't even remember what I ordered. It was some avocado toast with like salmon on it or some shit, right? So I order it, and I'm standing there for like 15 fucking minutes, and I'm watching these, like, one person's making it, and then they just like gave up, and then somebody else came over, and it's like forever, and I'm just standing there, and she got mad at me, and she starts saying all the, we have to put it through the toaster like 2 times. We have to get the avocado out. She started like breaking the thing down. And I was standing there. I got so mad. I'd already paid for it and a banana. And I just said, fuck this. I just walked away, still hungry. And then I ate the banana and it was overripe and it was all mushy. And I threw it out. It was like $17 down the tubes. And I just remember, I'd rather be fucking hungry than have one more fucking interaction with somebody that described to me how to make salmon avocado toast and act like they were pouring the foundation of a fucking house. And it's just like, I fucking hate people. I fucking hate people that hate their job. And I, especially a shit job. And it's like, this is why you're fucking here. I had this job. I fucking crushed it. I crushed it. I was a dishwasher. I was a cook. I did all of this shit. I fucking crushed it. I'm not saying this is the only skill this person fucking has, but it's just like, if you're not going to try at this because you think you deserve a better fucking job, when you get that, you're going to be an arrogant ass and you're not going to be fun to work for. I thought all of that over fucking avocado toast.
I think that we're not so different, but I could be wrong. You feel that I feel I've got you figured out, and you're right.
I just think you like me.
I do like
you. You like me, but we can be different, still like each other.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't like being told what to do, but I do like changing with the times or something. I don't really resist that. I feel like you resist that a little more, but ultimately you do change with the times.
Okay.
You thought I was wrapping it up. I fucking ripped another.
No, I feel like with you, there's this person you want me to be. So you keep telling me that I'm this fucking guy that I'm not.
Who's the guy you think I think you are?
I don't know. I don't know who sent you those texts.
I'm gonna fucking post them. No, I won't.
Okay.
I remember driving home and you being like, you know I love you. And I was like, I love you too. Does not ring a bell at all.
When the way you just did it, it did. This was one of my favorite interviews. I had a great time.
That can't be true.
Oh, I liked how weird it got.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, all right. How about this for weird? Thank you, Bill Burr, for coming on my show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, well, that is our show. Thank you to Bill Burr, Anthony Tamanik, and Will Ferrell. Look, America, I know I always say I love you at the end, but to be honest, in the beginning, it was like a joke. It was a bet I had with my buddies, and then I really fell in love with you.
Me, it's so fucking intrusive and creepy. And
it's unacceptable is what
yeah,
it is.
Unacceptable. And these fucking people, they just roll with this whole thing. You wait. I'm telling you, dude, in fucking 20 years, they're going to have drones, armed drones in the sky just hovering over every fucking neighborhood. And if anybody, we're all going to be microchipped. I mean, maybe not in our lifetime, but that's what the fuck they're going towards.
And they want a microchip, I heard.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally, because since the beginning of time, fucking sociopaths have been trying to take over the world. They just didn't have a big enough army. And they would always get they get too stretched out.
That's
and then
great.
They get their fucking asses kicked and then it goes back. But if you get the right technology and you like the technology exists right now that if you got enough psychos on board to link arms that run enough nations, you could easily run. If everybody was microchipped and money doesn't exist anymore, you need money for a revolution, and then you also need secrecy and that type of thing. So if they're already listening to your phone calls and they're reading your fucking emails and they got cameras on every goddamn corner and your microchip, the second they even think you're a fucking problem, they just shut off your chip and you're broke.
Yeah.
And then you're this crazy homeless guy in the subway. Revolution over before you even fired a shot. Or they just have the drone come in, right? Just fucking take you out and whoever's sitting next to you, guilty by association.
Yeah.
It's fucking over.
That would be brutal, man, I don't think they could organize it in our lifetime or maybe even in the next. But I think that could ultimately be coming.
We are, this is the thing, is... The fatal flaw with human beings, I feel, is that big-hearted, honest people do not pursue power. It doesn't interest them. They're just nice people.
That's
and
true.
I really just think in general that either some sort of character flaw that so many of these people fucking have that they gotta... Or you're just out of your fucking mind.
It's a sociopathic, narcissistic thing. You know, to do that. To want to do
that.
Let
me ask you this, too.
To want to do
that. Would you ever...
You know what I mean?
I would love to help people, but I would never want to be leader.
Like, no.
I would, you know, I'll join some shit if it's a Why good be fucking a fuck, cause. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be like, you know, this is what we should do. This is the direction we're going in. And fucking like those people who like try to implement new laws that are fucking advantageous towards whatever fucking horse shit they're trying to slide through. Congress or whatever. I mean, I just think, just in general, like, I don't understand how people go in with half of these fucking corporate companies and just knowing that, hey, this shit's all made in a sweatshop.
Yeah, why? That's actually okay a really good point. It's like, why would you want to do it? Why would you want that job? Even why would you want to be president? Why would you want that? There is something there that, like,
you don't want to sit in traffic. Like, you know what it is? Is you want people to play trumpets when you walk in a room. Like, that's how fucked up you are. Every time you walk in. Can you imagine that shit?
Yeah.
You landed in a helicopter looking down at everybody in traffic, right?
Dude, I think the idea of a king is one of the most hilarious. I think the fact that there are still kings in this fucking world is one of
that
the...
That there was ever a
it's
king.
The fu- it's
and
one
that,
of...
And that you wore a crown is
dude,
the funniest
shit
ever.
Dude, it's one of the funniest
shit.
The fact that you sit in your throne next to the queen and some juggler, their life is in... It's one of the funniest things.
And here's another thing, too, is that people, like believed in it. Like there was something, like the way that he wiped his ass was somehow royal. look, I know there's morons. I'm a moron. Like that's another reason why. I mean, I shouldn't be acting like I could run shit. But I just feel like, I don't know. Like they, I think really decent people and honest people, they don't have the stomach to hang in there for the fucking knife fight that really trying to get to any sort of level of power is just this shit. Like you see it, on their face. Like Hillary, like she's been to fucking war. You can't hurt her. You know what I mean? Like she's every fucking comment ever has been said about her. They got this fucking resolve.
Yeah.
And what kills me, dude, is they're going after a job that president pays $400,000 a year. That's it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It costs tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to get it. And they feel, why do they do that? And then when they all come out, they're all multimillionaires.
He made a lot of money in the private sector.
It's complete horseshit. Yeah. It's completely.
It's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I did a bit on that Night of Too Many Stars. I did that whole bit about the president, how the president should have fuck you money rather than just making $400,000 a year. And so he could actually sit back and be like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And maybe he could actually make decisions that were good for regular people
Insulting pay. It's an insulting pay for that job.
Dude, that's what that guy makes. And this is the thing. If you look at the senators and the congressmen, they make like 200-something grand.
Dude, they're bookies that make fucking 400 grand.
Dude, there's guitar act comedians that make more money than a senator. It's a fucking joke. I'm not shitting on guitar acts, but I'm just saying guitar acts sell tickets, though.
It really is a joke.
Yeah.
It's a fucking joke, dude.
Yeah. Like, if you do enough dates and you're selling tickets, you could actually go to the White House and look at Obama going like, I'm making more money than this guy. I make more money a year than this fuck. This doesn't make any, it makes no, dude, they're set up to be bribed.
Yeah.
They're bought and paid for before they ever fucking get in there. So that's why I don't even pay attention to it. If anybody says liberal or conservative or conspiracy theory, I just shut down from the conversation. I'm just like, you're a mouth-breathing moron. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. No, me too.
Yeah. Anybody who looks at that shit and actually thinks
that
the country is moving in a certain direction because this one guy that they go when he comes walking out, like he's actually dictating the course of the country.
That is
true. The stupidest thing.
It's the truest thing you're saying. And the fact that President Obama, the president of our country, could sit down with a higher up at GE and the guy makes fucking double his money is
Obama.
It's a
don't
joke.
Worry, don't worry, dude. I got it. Let me pay for this.
Yeah, they go out to sushi.
TGI Fridays.
How has your relationship to money changed since you're now making money?
I try to remain debt free. So there's no 401k for a comedian. So I try and I'm not into the stock market. I'm not into banks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I play the game. Sort of required to put a certain amount into the 401k, and then I just put it on the crap table.
Right.
But my philosophies when I was investing was like, all right, I want to invest in companies that are getting tangible stuff. Like mm-hmm. that whole pets.com crap, like I never bought into that. But if like you were like, you've had a gold mine and you were digging for gold or you some sort of agriculture, it just seemed like it was it was something real. It wasn't in the air or a philosophy. But then after a while, I just was kind of going, all right, so I'm investing in this, we'll just say the gold, the miner thing, right? Company. I'm like, at the end of it, I don't get any gold. So this is stupid. So then I wanted to have something tangible. So like, to me, it was obvious. It's like, buy a house. So I bought a house and then I've just paid it down like an absolute madman. And, it's very sparsely furnished. But like the freedom I have of, not having credit card debt because I've lived like that and had it hanging over my head and it used to wake me up at night and it was awful and people would call and where's our money and all that. And I hated it. And something my brother told me a long time ago, he goes, you know what? We were working at the same place. And we're looking out over this sea of cubicles and he was just breaking it down. Like all these guys like would working in the warehouse and then they would get a position. I want a position. And then they would move out to the carpeted cubicle area and they'd buy their little, shirt and tie. And my brother would be like, what's the first thing that they do? And I was like, what? And he goes, they go out and they buy a new car. And it's like, now you just change yourself to your desk. You can't leave. And then he goes, and then also the average shithead gets a dollar an hour raise and they immediately start spending $2 more an hour. So they're just constantly chasing it and you're just behind the eight ball. I mean, you're just completely fucked. You know, if nobody teaches you those things or tells you those things, it's like through student loans and a couple of credit cards and getting yourself some transportation. Like, these kids today are so far behind the eight ball. Like the amount of money that they charge for college to go into this job market with no guarantee of any sort of a job. It's a fucking ripoff.
It's like a scam.
If I had a kid, I'd be like, look, this is the way to do it. Go 2 years to a junior college, you know, pay a couple thousand for the year rather than 30, 40, 50 or whatever, and then transfer to the place that you want to have on your diploma and only pay 2 years. You get it for half cost right there.
Yeah.
And you're better off to, like...
I think you're just even better off just going to vocational school. You know?
You're better off meeting a bunch of smart, motivated people your age that share a vision and you guys try to start something.
Yeah.
You're better off doing that than going 2 years of a language, major in this, you know, be an intern here. Not totally shitting on. I'm not trying to depress anybody that's on that track, but like I have empathy for that. But anyway, so
I did that and I resent it. I think it was just a terrible waste of my money. It was
right. My brother also told me a great thing because he's always been great with money, and he said, "You know what true wealth is? It says going into a mall, being able to buy anything, and then you don't, and you just walk out." And like those are the lessons that, you know, stuck with me. It's why I drive a Prius. I mean, part of it, the reason why I did the Prius is because I fly every other weekend. I've literally put my own hole in the ozone layer, so I had to do something. And I saw enough people in these flashy cars. You know, you got a car that can go 180 miles an hour and you're in bumper to bumper traffic with me. So I would rather, you know, I have one TV. People always give me shit. It's not big enough for my living room because it's the one that I had when I had a one-bedroom apartment. But it's paid for and it fucking works. What am I supposed to do? Throw it out? So, like, those are the things, like, you know. But because I've done that, like, today, I don't have to work. I can go play drums and go see a movie.
Yeah.
And if you're young and you're listening to this, I implore you to go down that road, because if you could tell from the last hour, I am not the brightest guy. I am not a well-read guy. I went after a passion, but you can have that life. Like, dude, having a life, like living as debt-free as you can, being able to go to the movies whenever you want to, mm-hmm. is about as free as it gets, unless you get to that Eyes Wide Shut level where you're going to the cloak and dagger movie, you know? Like, it's really, it's as close to a fucking utopia as you can get to.
Right.
Yeah, so then I do all this geeky shit, like learn how to make pasta from scratch, learn how to cook, learn, you know, drums. I play hockey. It's my life is a fucking joke. Like, I just feel like if there is a higher power, they're looking down either laughing or just shaking their head like, this kid isn't doing anything.
I think the ultimate goal of every adult is how do you get back to being a kid? You know, which is like, you know, playing drums and seeing movies.
Dude, and don't listen. I remember when I was first, I was just going to get into radio. And I remember I went to the meat store, went to the butcher with my mom. And she mentioned, you know, he's like, so what is your son doing? You know, blah, blah, right. Doing that whole thing. And I was mentioning that, you know, I was majoring in communication. I wanted to get in radio. And the guy was like, you know, I don't know. I remember he turned around. He's like, everybody wants to be the star, like walking away. And I'm just looking at this guy with his bloody apron, talking to me like he had the keys to true happiness. Now, yeah. He might have. I mean, that was owned by their brothers, and they worked side by side. They saw each other, and they cut up pork chops all day.
Sure.
Maybe that was their dream. But, like, I don't think that he found his dream in life because he was shitting on mine. And I don't think a truly happy person does that. Or he could have been truly happy and was so drunk with his happiness, he couldn't figure out why I didn't want to jump over the counter.
I think he was just...
And put on a bloody apron and cut up veal with him.
Yeah, I think he's probably just jealous, in other words. Like, if that works out for you, and if it doesn't work out, like...
I took it as a townie bar comment.
Yeah.
Hey, don't forget where you came from. No matter what you accomplish, you know better than me. You're right here like that. Those for more young people listening, or... You know, any person listening, like, those are the people you need to cut out of your life.
Yeah.
Like the beginning of a cancer. Yeah. Where you catch it in time. You got to catch it in time. Or those fucking people, I swear to God, If they're in your ear, they could literally, like, I have a philosophy that the next Jimi Hendrix, you know, hasn't come because maybe he's surrounded by the wrong people and is driving a forklift at Home Depot.
It's probably true.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah. They're like, don't be, it's stupid. It's a dumb dream. Keep your mind on the
prize. Put that silly thing down and get a real job.
Listening to Bill Burr, it's just amazing how he really crystallizes really deep and profound concepts nestled in humor, in a joke, in an observation. This guy really, really more people need to stand up like he is standing up. Like I said, he's like a mainstream guy. He's an A-lister and he don't give a fuck. You know, he's standing up. You know, he's got a real pay. He's standing up and speaking his mind. Like I said, a lot of other people should do. You know, I'm not going to mention any names, but there's a lot of people out there in Hollywood and in the mainstream media and big entertainers. And, you know, they don't speak up at all. They just fall in line and do as they're told. And they, you know, how humor's getting these days with the political correctness. Everybody, you know, they don't want to offend the snowflakes and the potato chips and the cream puffs out there. So they keep all of the humor really dry and stupid and simple, and it's to the point where you can't make fun of anybody anymore. As a matter of fact, the really good movies back in the day that came out, you don't see any more good movies. You know, they do Robin Hood and Spider-Man and Aquaman, and you know, and then the hero's like some woman jumping over, and I have nothing against women, but I'm saying though, they're just reversing roles to get everybody to be contending with one another. Obviously, you know, the male figure, the female figure, the child, all of these archetypes have a place in existence, have a place in life, and they play the position, and they're all equally important. But what's really happening, and I keep repeating it, but it's the truth, what's happening is the powers that be, they just want to divide and conquer and to divide white against black, Asian against Hispanic, and just Jew against whoever. And it's what it is, a divide and conquer technique. You have to open up your eyes and read between the lines. Okay, and Bill Burr is doing a lot of that here. You know, they want us to contend against one another, compete against one another. You know, there's 50,000 Mexicans crossing the border, and in Paris they're rioting because, you know, the gas tax. And these are all legitimate things, but what it's also doing is it's taking... keeping us from uniting with one another so that we can see who the real enemy is, you know. And always we know who the real enemy is the one that you can't speak about. You know, the person that you can't speak on is the one that's the protected one, you know. So we have to really pay attention to this and understand that, like I said, I keep repeating it, but it's the truth, they're trying to divide us and conquer us all. So this is the point in time that we all need to unite everyone, black and white, Hispanic and Asian and whatever, whoever, whenever. We need to unite and really work together to a common goal to not allow this one world government to take over. And I'm not being funny. I mean, if you listen to Bill, you know, he's basically saying the same thing. And if you've listened to some of my prior podcasts, you know, we kind of mirror a lot of the same exact opinions, pretty like, really, really close, man. Except he does it with a lot of humor. I mean, Bill Burr's the man. So we need more people like him to stand up and speak truth. And just on a closing note, while we go into the last segment, I just want to, you know, project out and send out much love to our brothers and sisters out in Paris that are fighting the good fight for the working man. You know, it's sad to see, you know, the violence and to see people getting tear gassed and, you know, what's being perpetrated over there. And it's getting to the point where the police are starting to take off their helmets and really unite with the people. So this whole planet they have is beginning to break down, and it's not going to be able to last much longer because it's based on hate and fear and just negative energy and greed. And love is going to consume the planet where people are going to unite, and it's already beginning. So it's already too late for them because, like I said, once that 100th monkey is enlightened, then the whole world will be illuminated. And this is exactly what's happening. So much love to our brothers and sisters out there in Paris. We support you, Gilets Jaunes. You keep it up. And yeah, man, so let's get into this last segment. And, let's get into it.
It's just banking, how I just really feel it's legalized loan sharking. And I just think they're completely out of control, and that the only way I don't get this shit taxed out of me is if I'm 30 years in debt to you. You know, you're just going to, I just don't, there's no way to make, I don't get how you make fucking money. How do you get past a certain point, honestly, unless in this country, unless you have a hit song or you invent like that what's that little balance wrist bracelet thing that guy, he's trying to convince people that they don't know how to stand up. And you sell it for $19.95. You've seen it's fucking...
What is, I don't know what that is.
These people just like, they're standing there and they're acting like they can't stand up. And then they put this fucking bracelet on. They're like, oh my God, it's amazing. That is amazing. Because I think they're out of ideas, out of ways to scam people. That they now they're just coming up with bullshit. Like, you know, I have a cold. And someone wraps like a magic curtain around. Oh my God, I can breathe. This is amazing. The magic curtain, $19.95.
And in closing, just to shed a little light on what Bill Burr's talking about when he says they just create money out of thin air and these banksters are criminals and crooks, I'll just shed some light on it real quick. In 1913, they created what's called the Federal Reserve Bank, and it's not federal and they don't really have any reserves. It's a private banking institution that was given the authority to create our currency at interest. So every dollar that's, since 1913, every dollar that has been issued in the United States was issued by the Federal Reserve Bank, again, which is a private banking system, and it's issued at interest. So every dollar that's created by the Fed, our government has to pay interest on that. So I'll give you an example of really what that means in the real world. Let's say you want to purchase a home. That's $300,000, right? You walk up to the window, and let me digress real quick. What fractional reserve lending dictates is that if a bank has $1 million in reserves, they can lend out an additional $10 million predicated or based upon that $1 million that they already have in reserve. They can loan out 10 times more than they actually have. So in essence, they're just creating money out of thin air. And the only thing that's backing up that money is your obligation to pay it. You signing that document, that mortgage note, that loan note that states your obligation to repay that money. That's the only thing. So they're basically creating it out of thin air and out of your hard work and your sweat equity. And you really working hard for that money where they just create it out of thin air. And the crazy thing, I was thinking about it. Let's say you take out a $300,000 loan on a house and you default, you go bankrupt. They're going to ruin your credit. You're going to have to go into bankruptcy. And they're still going to try to get that money out of you, even though that money never existed. And they're just making profit. They're making profit and creating money out of thin air. That's criminal. That's really criminal. We need to get to the point where our U.S. Treasury creates our own money. And there's a crazy concept latched onto this, being that every dollar that's created is created from debt. The debt can never be paid back, because once that debt is eliminated, everything will crash, because the only thing that supports this whole financial system is debt. It's like trying to fit 11 marbles in a container that's made to hold 10 marbles. Because how are you going to pay off the debt if it's only created by debt? You know what? In other words, how are you going to pay off that loan when the only money that you can get issued to pay it off is created from debt? So it can never happen. And that's why inflation is so out of control right now. And, you know, I think the national debt is 20 or 21 trillion, but the off the books non-documented debt, I think, is 100 unfunded liabilities, which is Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, and a lot of these pension funds and a lot of this military. I think it's $100 trillion. That money doesn't even exist on this planet. So it's time for all of us to wake up and have a good understanding of really what's happening and what this fractional reserve system really means. It's just creating money out of thin air, which is supported by debt, which we're obligated to pay, while the bankers profit. And they do no work. They just type money into existence and invoice us and send out the bill to us. So we're going to close it out on this here. And I want to send my debt and gratitude out to Bill Burr. He's really, really the man. Funny dude. And hopefully you guys enjoy this. And I'm just going to close it out. Namaste. Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative. Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. My email address is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. My website is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com. My Instagram is alphamalebuddhist. And my subreddit is reddit.com/r/alphamalebuddhist. That's my subreddit where you can comment and interact with other listeners. And it's a great forum to sit and have an open dialogue. So again, thank you for listening and namaste.